This podcast is brought to you by SMC. MoneyWise, be wise.
You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Monday, the 19th of August. Good evening and welcome to Editor's Pick of the Day on Money Control. My name is Sheetal. As always, let's get you started with the top business headlines from India.
Editor's Pick of the Day.
In a move to relax punishment for fraud under the Companies Act, the Corporate Affairs Ministry is planning to withdraw the criminalization aspect in 65 sections where the offences are compoundable or not serious in nature, according to a government official in the know, who can be quoted as saying, criminalization has had no worthwhile outcome. We will look at decriminalizing most of the compoundable offences. Conviction can lead to many far-reaching consequences, which is not the intention of the law, unquote. Let's move on and see what's happening in the troubled auto sector. Well, to help the sector tide over the stress it's been witnessing, the country's largest lender, State Bank of India, has extended the credit period of automobile dealers that are facing a demand slowdown and inventory buildup. Now, normally, the credit period is of 60 days, but the bank has extended the same to 75 days and 90 days in certain cases, according to State Bank of India's Managing Director for Retail and Digital Banking. There has been a slight downturn in auto loans from the bank in recent months. The auto sector is facing its worst crisis in two decades, and reports suggest that thousands of job losses can be expected. Around 2 lakh jobs have already been cut across automobile dealerships in India in the last 3 months, as vehicle retailers take the last resort to tide over the impact of unprecedented sales dump, according to the Federation of Automobile Dealers Association. With production slowing down across the auto industry, temporary workers in both the auto factories and at the ancillary units are really the first to go, and up to 1 million jobs are thought to be at risk. Meanwhile, while on the subject of SBI, SBI Chairman Rajneesh Kumar has said that credit demand remains subdued and that there is a need for a stimulus in the economy. However, there is no constraint on the supply side, according to him, as the public sector banks are adequately capitalized. The revival of the monsoon and the impending festival season would boost demand, Kumar hoped. He's also expressed concern over the NPAs in the agricultural loans and said that flow of credit to the agri sector gets impacted due to debt waiver schemes. This year, as the last date for filing of income tax returns nears, there is already the convenience of pre-filled forms. There is plan to start including more details from next year as technology goes beyond enabling compliance and extends to ease of operation at the client end. Lucky us. While the Revenue Department is consulting the Securities and Exchange Board of India, or SEBI, to see how capital gain tax and maybe even dividend income might be included in the pre-filled forms so that an individual need not approach a chartered accountant. This year, the forms already come pre-filled with details of salary and tax deducted at source, or TDS, apart from interest from fixed deposits. Coffee Day Enterprises have announced that the group's total debt stands at 4,970 crore rupees and expressed confidence that once it concludes its divestments, the debts will reduce significantly and the group will have no problem paying back the remaining debt. Some analysts had earlier pegged the debt to be at around 6,500 crore rupees. The Coffee Day Group also includes the companies Sical Logistics and Magnusoft Consulting, which provide geospatial and engineering services. Tanglin Developments, which owns the Global Village Technology Park in Bengaluru, is on the way to being bought by equity firm Blackstone and property developer Salarpuria for about 2,600 to 3,000 crore rupees. Coffee Day Enterprises stated that its debt within a month should shrink to about 1,000 crore rupees after slated repayments, including that from the sale of Global Village. Elon Musk, who has been at the forefront of cutting-edge technology, has now turned his attention to India. Tesla is among the large technology companies that have shown an initial interest in the Indian government's plan to build large factories to make lithium-ion batteries at an investment of about 50,000 crore rupees. Another firm that has shown interest is China's BYD company. Now, this is one of the projects that India is set to embark on in an effort to make the country a global manufacturing hub for electric vehicles and their components. According to a NITI estimate, India will need 6 gigawatt scale facilities of 10 gigawatt per hour each by 2025 and 12 by 2030. Well, those then were the top business headlines in India. Let's move on to some other headlines with respect to the country. After battering the western coast, the heavy rains have now caused havoc in northern India, with more than 40 people having lost their lives in the states of Uttarakhand, Punjab and Himachal Pradesh. 9 have been confirmed dead in Uttarkashi district alone, while a number of people are still reported missing. The Met Department has said that heavy rainfall will continue through Monday evening over Jammu and Kashmir, Himachal Pradesh, Uttarakhand, Punjab and Haryana due to the strong interaction between the prevailing low-pressure system and the incoming westerlies. A number of villages have been flooded and marooned and utilities affected. A few roads have also been closed due to landslides. With dams filling up fast, Haryana has released a record 8.2 lakh cusecs of water in the Yamuna on Sunday. Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal has said that the floodwaters in the Yamuna are likely to reach Delhi by Monday evening and the danger level is likely to be breached. He has asked people who are likely to be affected by an overflowing Yamuna to move to safety and take shelter in the temporary shelters that the government has put up. Former Union Minister P. Chidambaram has been summoned for questioning by the Enforcement Directorate in connection with the purchase of 111 aircraft for Air India during the Congress-led UPA government, according to sources. Now, this case involves the purchase of 43 aircraft from Airbus and 68 from Boeing for around 70,000 crore rupees in 2007. In December of 2005, the Manmohan Singh cabinet had approved the deal for 68 aircraft from Boeing company by Air India. A year later, Indian Airlines signed up to buy 43 planes from Airbus SE. The agency is investigating allegations of aircraft being leased and, we quote, without due consideration, and whether Air India surrendered profitable routes to private national and international private airlines, allegedly adding to its vast losses. The Enforcement Directorate is taking cognizance of the CBI's first information report about money laundering allegations in the cases. A man from Shivpuri, Madhya Pradesh, has got government support after a video of him running barefoot for 100 meters in 11 seconds on the road went viral on the internet. Rameshwar Gurjar has been called by the Sports Minister of Madhya Pradesh for a speed test at the TT Nagar Stadium in Bhopal. Gurjar said, and we quote, "I was looking out for my lost buffaloes when I got the call from the sports ministers. I'd seen Usain Bolt on TV and I used to think, why Indians can't break his record? I'm hopeful for breaking it after getting facilities and proper training," unquote. Former Chief Minister Shivraj Singh Chauhan asked Union Sports Minister Kiran Riju for support for Gurjar, to which the latter responded that he would put him up at an athletic academy. IKEA, the Swedish furniture, had a few days earlier announced that it would open a second store in India later this year. This one would be in Mumbai, after Hyderabad happened a year ago. It has now announced online ordering for customers in the larger Mumbai area, that's Mumbai, Navi Mumbai and Thane, though unofficially, this has been on for about a week. The orders will be catered by its distribution center in Pune. There are no free deliveries though. IKEA is also planning to set up smaller outlets and pickup points throughout Mumbai. It also has plans of expanding its presence to 50 cities in the next decade. And with that, it's a wrap on the India headlines. Let's move on to figure out what's happening elsewhere in the world. The US Commerce Department is expected to extend a reprieve to Huawei Technologies that allows the Chinese firm to buy supplies from US companies so that it can service existing customers, according to sources. The temporary general license, as it's called, will be extended to Huawei for about 90 days, according to these sources, and will renew an agreement set to lapse on the 19th of August. Now, this will enable the company to maintain existing telecommunications networks and also provide software updates to Huawei handsets. The US government had blacklisted the Chinese company, saying it is involved in activities contrary to national security or foreign policy interests, and that Huawei's smartphones and network equipment could be used by China to spy on Americans, allegations that the company has repeatedly denied. When the Commerce Department blocked Huawei from buying US goods earlier this year, it was seen as a major escalation in the trade war between the world's two top economies. The situation surrounding the license has become a key bargaining chip for the United States in its trade negotiations with China. The Chinese search engine operator Baidu is expected to report a dismal quarter. In expectation of the downturn in its performance, shares have fallen by more than half a percentage, leading to the weekend's trade. Its shares have lost nearly 40% of their value, and this is since the year began, as China's weak economy has dented companies' ad spend on the platform. Its prospects in the near future do not hold much promise of a quick turnaround, with China's economic situation not appearing to change quickly. In other international news, a UK government document shows that the government is preparing for the worst from Brexit. The document leaked to the Sunday Times comes as Prime Minister Boris Johnson insists that he will leave the European Union on October 31st with or without a deal. The Brexit document, which appears to have been written just this month by the Cabinet Office and marked, we quote, official sensitive, unquote, lists key planning assumptions and details the likely repercussions of a no-deal Brexit. Among them, fuel, food and medicine shortages, rising costs of social care, significant port disruptions and a harder border with Ireland. According to a senior government functionary, this is the most realistic assessment of what the public face with no deal, not the worst case. Over the weekend, the pro-democracy movement in Hong Kong gained steam. Rather than tend to fizzle out in the face of warnings from the Chinese authorities, demonstrators braved torrential rain to hold their largest rally in weeks, a show of mass support that rejuvenated the widespread movement, putting pressure on officials to resolve the biggest political crisis in decades. The pro-democracy movement opposes Beijing's tightening grip on the city, seeking to return to a more democratic existence that it enjoyed before it came under Chinese control in 1997. Another change, which probably pointed to the determination of the protesters, was that the procession was peaceful, contrasting with the earlier demonstrations, which saw bloody battles between protesters and the police and even shut down the airport for a couple of days. Those then were the international headlines. Let's move on to figure out what's happening in the world of tech. Silicon Valley is benefiting from the Jio effect after Reliance Jio launched free data plans in 2016. Facebook has posted consistent monthly active user growth for almost 3 years since Jio's launch, thanks to the influx of new Indian users. Infrared saunas have emerged as one of the hottest wellness trends in recent years, and not just because they make you sweat, but because they help relieve pain and release toxins. Boutique spas across the US charge up to $70 for a single session. However, infrared saunas can be for everyone. They've become so popular, in fact, that you can actually purchase one of your own on Amazon. The online retail giant offers a wide variety of infrared saunas on its website, from elaborately built cedar structures that can cost more than $2,000 to portable collapsible saunas that resemble wearable tents and cost less than $200. In offbeat news, well, only in the last few years, plant-based foods have suddenly snapped up market share in both the dairy and meat markets, with alternative versions of milks, yogurts, and convincing faux beef patties. Now, the humble mung bean, or mung bean, has set up camp in the egg section, and it's starting to make some noise. Just Egg, J-U-S-T Egg, which is a plant-based egg alternative created by a Silicon Valley company, has made remarkable inroads into the market. Just founder and CEO Josh Tetrick claims that his company has sold the plant-based equivalent of 10 million eggs since the launch of this new product in December 2017, and he's hopeful that it'll claim even more dominance in the space. It's still more expensive than its competitors, but the texture, the taste, and the overall cooking experience is apparently quite convincing. And finally, a look at the local equity markets to round up Editor's Pick of the Day. The markets saw bullish sentiment in the earlier part of the day, with the Sensex gaining more than 350 points to touch a high of 37,719 after hopes of a revival package from the central government. But after that peak, it proceeded to shed more than 300 points to close just 52 points higher from the previous close. That's a marginal gain of 0.14%. Sun Pharma, Tech Mahindra, Axis Bank and L&T were the top gainers in the Sensex scripts, while Yes Bank, Power Grid, State Bank of India and ONGC were the biggest losers. Among the sectors, pharma was the biggest gainer, going up 0.84% at close on Nifty, while in banking, public sector banks fell by about the same margin, that's down 0.85%. Global equity markets rose on Monday on signs that major economies would look to prop up stalling growth with fresh stimulus measures, easing pressure on bonds and dampening demand for perceived safe havens such as gold. And that's it from us on Editor's Pick of the Day on Money Control. Have a great evening. Catch you tomorrow.
This has been today's Editor's Pick. And you've been listening to Money Control.